thing, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 and I sat down Friday night late and compared notes, because it's not often that she's worship leading and I'm preaching, and she didn't know what I was speaking on and I didn't know what. I got the set list, but I just printed out the schedule, didn't even look at it, and began to tell her what the Lord had laid on my heart for this morning. And she's like, interesting, here's the song, here's the songs, and God is orchestrating something for someone. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on mortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's set our Bibles down, our phones down with a Bible app, and let's just one more time call out to the Lord and just let this be your prayer. God, speak to me where I'm at this morning. God, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you for, Lord, your word, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you care about where we're at, what we're going through, what we're facing, Lord God. You care about us, Lord, and the trials and tribulations. You care about us, Lord Jesus, the good times, the bad times. You care about us, the sickness and in health. You care about us, Lord. And I pray, God, minister, Lord, right now, this morning, in this time, the next few minutes, Lord God, I pray, speak to us through your word. Speak to me, God, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the ultimate endurance test. Now, I was approached before service. I said, oh, you're preaching. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, good. I'm kind of tired this morning. I'm not going to rat out who told me this. I'm kind of tired. It's like, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, you liven it up. I'm like, you don't think I can be serious? I'm like, I am going to be serious the entire message. Okay. I lasted, and they're like, yeah, there's no way you can be. So I apologize in advance for all those who want seriousness. But the Lord does have a message. It's around 25 years ago that a father and two sons and one of the son's close friends began an annual tradition, a day of father-son bonding, a day of connection, a day of fun. At the same time, it was a day of testing the wills, the resolve, the skills, and the endurance of each of them. And so it went on, just the four of them, two teams of two battling out for bragging rights. And then after several years, they decided to open up the opportunity to four more. And so two teams of two became four teams of two. And this is when I believe I became a part of this tradition. Fathers and sons, roommates, former roommates, friends, giving it their all each and every year. Teams would rotate year in, year out, different people with different other teammates the next year, as bring fairness, bring balance, and as some were more skilled, some less. Over the next 10 to 15 years, it went from 8 to 12 to 16, maxing out at 24 so far. Men giving it their all. Men pushing past what they thought they could give. A day of endurance.
There have been years when the sun would factor in as these gladiators had to push through the part of the challenge where there was no shade. Those moments caused many a good man to drop their concentration. Fatigue would set in. The will to go on would wane and performance would suffer. The ones who have won each year have always been the mentally strongest, the most determined, the ones who endured to the end no matter what came their way. What is this endurance test, you may ask? The arena where blood, sweat, and tears have been shed for almost two decades, actually more than two decades, is found in Wisconsin Dells at a little place called Pirates Cove Adventure Golf. Yes, I am talking about mini golf. Some of you are laughing. Many of you are laughing. And that's awesome, Brittany. Some of you play actual golf are now silently mocking me and the others, other unnamed brothers. But we're not talking one course of 18 holes here, nor two, or three, or four. That's right, this group of hardened warriors plays five courses each year, all five courses at Pirates Cove. Four courses have 18 holes, one has 19, for a total of 91 holes of mini golf in one day. It is truly an endurance test. I heard some amens. That's right. If you know, you know. Our opening passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians is speaking of the hope of heaven and how one day the trumpet is going to sound. Those who have passed on will rise to meet Jesus, and then those who are still alive will follow. In the twinkling of an eye, it says, thanks be to God, verse 57 says, who gives us this victory. And then we get to verse 58, where Paul exhorts the folks in Corinth and says this, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Paul is writing about what the whole goal of this life is, spending eternity with our Creator, our Savior. And because we want to go there, he calls us to therefore be steadfast, be immovable. Some other translations say unshakable or stand firm. The Scripture itself gives us notice that we will face an environment where we could be shaken. Why say be unmovable and steadfast if there is not the opportunity to be moved, to be shaken, to be not steadfast? Where there are times where our resolve, our determination, our purpose will be challenged. When you mini golf 91 holes, let me tell you, your resolve is tested. The third course is called Pirate's Lookout, and it's up at the top of the hill, and you do look out over the portion of Wisconsin Dells that you're at. But that course has been my nemesis in the past because it has pretty much no shade, no tree cover. We just battled it out this past Friday, and it was in the mid-80s. Yeah, some of you are mocking with that wow. You'll notice the other 23 guys are not. The sweat just pours down your face, the sun beating down. This year I was wearing a headband. And about halfway through that course, I was like, oh no, I'm wearing a headband. And I'm probably going to have a headband highlighted sunburn, and I'm preaching on Sunday. Sure enough, that night, Friday night, there was a big old light-colored stripe at the top of my forehead. Thankfully, it's thankfully it's faded. Else I would invite you to come in after service and get a good laugh, but it faded a little bit. But there have been years when I have wilted on Pirate's Lookout. This year was actually pretty good. One bad shot, though, one bad hole, which leads to two bad holes, to three bad holes, and then you begin to just give up trying. When I think about our day of mini golf and try to identify what is it that really shakes me or comes against me, you know, yeah, there's some guys who talk smack and who heckle and try to get in your head, but really the challenges are all environmental. It's the weather. It varies. If it's cool, crisp, we plan in September, and yeah, it's 85 degrees yesterday, or Friday, crazy. Now, tomorrow, it's going to be nice and perfect mini golf weather. But it's the weather, the other environment. It's my body, my aching knee and ankle. We joke with our elder, too. yeah, I'm in the top three. But the oldest two we joke about and tell them that they're going to be in, you know, head back to the nursing home after. Environment's how I dressed for the day or prepared myself. It's how tired I am, how hungry I am, how my week was leading up to the event. All those environmental things are what can impact my mini golf game. And it's like that in our journey with the Lord. You know, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. John 10 says that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. So, yes, the devil is seeking to ruin our lives, and he wants us to join him in the hell which was created for him and his angels. But where we can go wrong is that we place the focus on his supposed amazing abilities to knock us down. But Scripture says he's like a roaring lion, not that he's an actual roaring lion. It's like the yippy small dogs that think, you know, I'm a big dog. You just look at them wrong and they run away. The Bible says resist the devil. It doesn't say like beat up on the devil and he'll flee, fight the devil. It says resist him. So really, when you think about it, we place so much emphasis on him. So what happens is that he roars loudly amidst the environmental aspects of our life. And from there, we can be shaken. We can be moved. We can be knocked down. Our faith can be challenged. Let's be real. As Sister Fiona already said, it's been 3+ years, five. I lost count of loss, tragedy, pain, suffering, on and on here at Calvary Gospel. Can't ignore it. I'll be honest. I get tired of hearing so-and-so just had a negative test come back. I don't want to feel that weight anymore for my brothers and sisters, but those are the swirling storms of life around us. In those moments, it's when we are to be steadfast and movable, or we are not. It's in those moments when we persevere and endure, or we don't. The prophet Daniel of the Old Testament spoke about our current time and how the enemy of our souls would work. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He shall wear out the saints. How? By inserting his voice into our lives in the midst of the storm. You face sickness, that voice says God doesn't care about you, else you wouldn't be sick. You face a tragedy like Madden passing, that voice says God can't be trusted to take care of or protect the ones that we love. Sickness ravages your body, or a loved one passes away from sickness, and that voice says if God was really a healer and everything else that's been claimed, why would you not be healed? Why would your loved one not be healed? On a personal note, the one I've shared many times, I faced 12 years ago. You find out you can't have kids naturally, and your prayers for a child go unanswered. And that voice says, I thought the Bible said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall. Where's God? He probably just doesn't care about you, because everyone else is having kids, but not you. So there must be something wrong with you. That's the voice you hear, begin to hear. That's the roaring lion. And it's in that moment that decisions must be made. It's not only the big storms of life where we have to endure and be immovable, but we will face temptations to be busy, to put career first at all costs, to soak ourselves in entertainment or hobbies. If we're naturally talented and skilled, smart, great potential, there will be a voice that says, God gave you this talent. You should go all in. And don't worry about your daily prayer life. God understands you're using your talent. You know, it's a business. You're working hard, 12-hour days. I get it. It's okay to slack. And that temptation to, and I'm not saying don't hone in and be all that you can be for your business and for your boss and do everything. I'm not saying that, but to the sacrifice of him, that's where he works. The enemy works. If you have a long day working just to put food on the table, there'll be that voice. You deserve time for yourself and fill in the blank, this earthly pleasure, whatever it may be. Maybe it's just simply just, I'm going to turn my brain off and watch the rest of the night. And then you fall into bed and realize, I forgot to pray. I forgot to pray. Again, the voice in the midst of just our daily lives. Through every hurdle, every trial, every loss, every pain, every environmental factor, every lie, every temptation, we've got to endure. So what is the ultimate endurance test? Simply just life. It's life. 2 Corinthians 4:8. You see up there, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, persecuted. Sorry, I didn't give you verse 9 probably. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. How does that work? How does one get hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, and not get crushed, full of despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed? It seems pretty overwhelming. So how do we endure? Let me read some scriptures for you. Speak for themselves. John 15:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Philippians 4:12-13. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you see it? Let's keep going. Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How does one endure? We endure through the Lord. We can't be immovable and unshakable if our fountain is built on the sand. If anyone's built a sandcastle, you know that. Because what? When the winds and the waves and the storms come, what happens to that sandcastle? It's gone. You can build it with the strongest material, but if it's on sand, it's gone. I preached a message once, and I found the image from, it was, I think, Galveston, Texas, when the hurricane came through, and every single house was wiped off the coast except one, because they had face damage, and they had to rebuild, and so they said, this will never happen to our home again, and so they built pylons, like, I don't know how deep into the ground, and set rock on the, it was on the beach, but they, however they did it, they built it on rock on the beach, and there was the only house that stood, and it's a phenomenal picture. I didn't even think about it till just now. But you build on sand, it's going to crumble. So what do? We build on the rock. And those same storms, same exact storms as the sand, folks, those storms will come, those waves will come, but our lives will stand. I'm here to communicate that that rock is Jesus. If your life is crumbling today, it's not too late. Look to Jesus. He will be the stability you need. We build on the rock. We're solidified with Christ. But then there's this concept we already read in Isaiah 40, but it's also found in Romans 12. We're going to go there, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't let life shape you. Don't let it impact you. Be immovable. How? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must be renewed in Christ. Just like the decision we once made to build our house on the rock, we have to continually make that decision to build our house on the rock. We have to renew that decision, so to speak. We're all familiar with subscription renewals. Now a lot of it's digital. But my dad paid for a subscription. My son picked this edition out, just so you know. Ranger Rick Jr. This edition is Sea Dragons. I told him, go find the coolest one you want me to share. Sea Dragons. Actually, and then he told me, cool. I asked him, find a cool fact. A lobster. Did you know a lobster's teeth are in its stomach? Fun fact. That would be cool. But just like all magazine subscriptions, if you ever had one, you know this. They send out subscription renewal requests constantly. My dad, a few months back, asked me, it was like, I just got a notification. They want me to renew the subscription. Can you look on the magazine and tell me? Mind you, this was like 3 months ago, maybe spring of 2024. And yeah, it's August 2025. Like 15, 18 months ahead of time, they're saying, oh, don't forget, renew. Mind you, you know, same thing happens. I'm a Costco member. Mine ends in October, and I'm getting the renewal request today. And I'm like, no, I'm going to walk into Costco in October at some point, and maybe early November. I'm going to get to the checkout, and it's going to say, your membership's expired. And at that point, I will renew. Until then, I'm not renewing now, you know? I'm going to renew when it's done. But God operates like Ranger Rick. Doesn't operate like Amazon Prime that just renews your subscription automatically when the year's up. Unless you cancel. Oh, forgot to cancel. I've had that happen. Or you do like the subscription from Amazon and just to save like 50 cents on an item. And subscribe and save. And so you do it just for the one time. And then you forget to turn it off. Yeah. God's more like Ranger Rick. He's wanting us to consistently renew ourselves in him. He's calling out for us to renew. As we read in Matthew, he's saying, come to me, all you are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come to me. Not just the first time, but again today. Oh, you're weary again today? Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Oh, you're feeling perplexed today. You can't get it. Your mind's plagued. You're anxious. You're struggling. Come on, I've got you. You're not going to be in despair. You're not feeling strong today. Come on, wait on me. I'll renew your strength. Unfortunately, we tend to be like the ladies we find in Matthew 25. The parable or story is told about 10 ladies getting ready for the wedding day. 5 were considered wise because they filled up their oil vessel and brought it along with their lamp as they waited to be called, while 5 were considered foolish. Why? Because they didn't fill up ahead of time. And then were left scrambling trying to find a vendor to sell oil after the fact when there was no vendors available. We need to renew our minds. We need to renew ourselves in the Lord consistently every day. Why? Because we don't know when the storm will come. We don't know when the waves will blow. We don't know when they'll start crashing. We don't know when the next temptation will present itself to us, or the next job opportunity, or the next this, or the next that, and we just jump because, oh, this is amazing, without thinking, because we're not renewing our mind. We're not having the mind of Christ. And so we just jump at the opportunity, and then we're down a mile down the road and realize it was a mistake because we weren't paying attention. When we renew ourselves, we prepare ourselves to endure, to be immovable, to be unshakable when the thing that will shake us comes. A passage of Scripture that embodies the idea of preparing oneself so well is found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I encourage you to read the whole thing later, when Paul gives the analogy of armor to the saints in Ephesus, comparing our renewing to putting on armor. Ephesians 6:10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. He goes on to talk about the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. That is how we endure. We renew ourselves in God. We clothe ourselves with him. God, my mind is messed up, so I need the helmet of salvation. I'm struggling thinking things through. I'm struggling with thoughts and anxious thoughts. Well, get God in you. Put his helmet on so it protects from all the voices that saying, you're not worth it, you're a loser, might as well not even try, why are you on this earth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We need that. If you're just feeling anxious, man, put on the shoes of peace. And walk. Well, really, it's just saying, God, you be my feet because I'm going to put my shoes and now lead me. And then you just feel the peace. Like, okay, it's the midst of the storm, but I know I'm with God. Man, Nolan on Tuesday just, he's like, I know where to turn to. It's God. And that's what his shoes of peace. I should be, and that doesn't say it takes away grief. And the process of grief and the hurt and the pain and the loss. But man, it's just in the midst of all that, I feel you, God. I feel your peace. I feel your love. I feel your strength. We need to take him on. Hallelujah. Jesus found himself in Samaria one day. He actually purposely went there. He had a divine appointment with a Samaritan woman. He met her at the well, asked her for a drink, and when she questioned his motivations, why are you asking me? He says this in John 4:10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, if you really knew who I was, you would have asked him, you would have asked me, and he would have given you living water. He can give us living water. Living water is always flowing. It never ceases. It's never stagnant. It's a fresh spring, a fresh bubbling up in our souls. Fiona wrote an amazing song a while back entitled Living Water. It's a prayer, a cry out to our Lord for the living water to wash our souls. And the message is that the living water of Jesus washes away our guilt, our shame, our hurts, our pains, our doubts, our fears, our scars, our tears. The living water. Our journey in life, the ultimate endurance test. It's not meant to be faced with sheer willpower and determination. I'm just going to get through this. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to listen to a podcast. You know, we even offer a grief class, a grief share, and we're going to do that. And that's so vital. It's important to do that. But ultimately, and I haven't been through it, but I would assume, look to Jesus. Because in the grief, yes, you work through the process, the steps of grief, but you need Jesus to process all of that. Else it's too easy to, just going to lock that away and I'm not going to face that hurt. God, you're not going to be healed until you face the hurt. My kids hate when they get cuts. Why? Dad's a little gentler. My mom's like, get out the peroxide. They heal a lot faster with her. But it's like, ah, hurts, ah. And it's like, hold you down. No. Early on it was. You've been there, parents. Strap them down. Put on the peroxide. Clean that cut up. But it's facing the pain that healing can come. And so today, we're not meant to face life alone. And do it on our own, because that's really impossible. We just tuck it away. Today, Jesus is calling. Today, Jesus is reaching. He's beckoning. He's standing here saying, let me give you the living water that you so desperately need to endure. Let me wash over your soul, your spirit, so you can be made whole. Let me be the rock that you stand on. Let me be the source of strength in your weakness. He's calling out, come to me and repent. Turn away from what has not been working in life. Go a different direction. I'll forgive you of all the wrong you've done. He's standing here. Let me fill you with the Spirit. Let me fill you with my Spirit this morning. He's saying and calling this morning, make the decision to be baptized in water, and I'll wash all away all your sins. All the mistakes in life will be forgotten. The slate wiped clean, a new creature. When we choose Jesus, we will endure. Then if you would stand with me as we read James chapter 1, verse 12. And it wraps it up. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he had stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Life's the ultimate endurance test. With Jesus, we will endure. With Jesus, we'll persevere. With Jesus, we'll overcome. With Jesus, we'll make it, and we will spend eternity in heaven with him someday. The crown of life. I was telling Pastor Jessica a couple weeks back, right after we got the news of Madden, said I, and thank you to whoever made a comment on this last service and said something about like, I don't really know how to respond because, and that's okay. I forget who that was, but that was me. I said, I lived overseas. I didn't really know my grandparents. And though they've passed away, and I love them, but I never, because of the connection and just how my life is and my family is, like, never faced someone close passing away. I've had uncles and knew them, loved them, but again, spent a couple visits with them throughout my life. And so I don't know what it's like for some who have had a spouse, a child, a best friend pass away. But I feel the heaviness. I feel that in my spirit, because you're my brothers in spirit and sisters. And like I said that Wednesday, or whenever that was, that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. And I've just wept with you, even though it hasn't been me personally. But I do know a God who will help us when the storms come. I haven't faced death, but I've faced other things, and it hasn't been my strength that's carried me through. And it won't be your own strength, your own mind. My, didn't have this, I just feel like the Lord's leading me. My brother, his father-in-law, ordained minister, pastor up in Minneapolis, walked out 2 years ago this December, outside of the church, walked down a slippery sidewalk because there's some, I forget what exactly, but slipped, broke his back, and now he's in a wheelchair, pretty much incapable of doing most things. We were in service with them in August last month, and it's like nothing had changed. Big smile on his face. Man, it's so good to see you. Oh, God is so good. Every once in a while when I go on social media, he's posting some message. I'm still a minister, and he can talk and everything, but he's bound to a wheelchair. Why? Because his rock is Jesus. He's like, doesn't matter my body's condition. I serve a God. He's so good. I still got to tell people about it. I can still be full of joy even though life is hard. I can't do anything. I can't feed myself. We went out to eat, and it's like I didn't want to look over there because I've never been around that kind of situation and someone being fed. And it's like I would be embarrassed if that was me. Like, can't even do it myself, but man, we had a great time. It's so good to see him, and just spoke to my spirit. And some of you, Madden, you spoke to my spirit. Here, my brother died. Would I be like that? Hopefully, but man, that's God being a foundation in Madden's life and Nolan's life. Hallelujah. The ultimate endurance test, and how we endure is through Jesus. Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you've been trying to work through life the last few years, and maybe a situation that has nothing to do with sickness or health, and we've had a lot of that, but maybe it's finances, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's your job and your career and just turmoil in your mind, whatever it is, don't try to do it alone. Give it to God. Bathe in him. Take him on. For his yoke is light. His yoke is light. As we begin to sing to this morning, I just encourage you to find a place to pray. If you want to be, if you've never had him as your rock, come to this side. We'll have folks to help walk you through and pray and fill you with the Spirit. God will fill you with the Spirit. If you've never been baptized, say, we want to encourage you to come. But other than that, come find a place. If you're sick in your body, let's come up with faith and we'll pray with you and believe and trust in God one more time. I trust this sickness to you, God. I trust this circumstance to you, God.